Genesis chapter 24 this morning, if you'll be turning there. Chapter 24, a wife for Isaac. Far in our study, we've been introduced to God in several different ways. First of all, we were introduced to God as Elohim. Genesis chapter 1, which simply means deity, where God said, "Let us make man in our image." God created the heavens and the earth. This is deity. This is Elohim, or Elohim. And then Yahweh, which is Jehovah, Jehovah God. And then El Roy, the God who sees. If you remember when Hagar went down to Beer Lahai-Roi, she named that area Beer Lahai-Roi because their God saw her, the God who sees. And then El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. And Adonai, or Adonai, which just simply is a term of reverence. And definitely God is the reverent one. And then Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides, which we studied about Wednesday night. So some different terms for God, seeing God in different ways and different ways that he deals with mankind. Wednesday night we studied the offering of Isaac. God had promised that through Isaac he would fulfill the promises that he had made to Abraham. And then in that he told Abraham what? Take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him for a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. So Abraham didn't hesitate to obey that. He got up the next morning. He took a couple of his servants. He took Isaac. He took the wood for the offering. And he started on his way. He had faith that God would even raise Isaac from the dead. Now, how do we know that? Not in the text. Hebrews, okay? Hebrews tells us that. So God stayed his hand. He offered a ram instead. And he named the mount Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. God provided the sacrifice. God provided the ram. Now, there's a comparison there, and Wayne talked about this Wednesday night, between Isaac and Christ. The fact that he was the only son. Now, Abraham had Ishmael, but the son by promise, the only son between him and Sarah, was Isaac. So he was the only son. He was loved by the Father. The Father was willing to give His Son as a sacrifice, and the Son submitted to the Father's will. So we see there a comparison between the offering of Isaac and the offering of Christ on the cross. And, of course, at the end of that, God reaffirmed to Abraham the promises that He had made. Also, very shortly, Nahor's family. Nahor was Abraham's brother. He had 12 sons. Micah, his wife, had 8 sons, and Ruma, who was a concubine, had 4, so a total of 12. And we're introduced here to Bethuel, who was the son of Nahor, father of Rebekah. Also, the fact that Sarah died at 127 years old. Abraham was 137. She died in Hebron, Kirjath-Arba. And Abraham bought Cave of Machpelah from the Hittites as a burying place for her in Hebron. And that was the only land that Abraham ever possessed in the land of Canaan. So, doesn't work anymore. This morning we come to Genesis chapter 24. We're talking about Abraham getting a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham was old. God had blessed him in all ways. God had blessed him physically. God had blessed him materially. God had been with him and blessed him in all ways, just as he blesses us today. He was getting on in years. We know that he was at least 137, between 137 and 140. So he wasn't a young man. So he called his eldest servant to him, and he told him, "I want you to put your hand under my thigh and swear to me that you will not take a wife for my son Isaac from among the Canaanites in whose land we dwell. But instead, I want you to go back to what? I want you to go back to the land of my nativity, to Mesopotamia, and find a wife from my kindred. And the servant said, well, okay, but what if I go and I find one and they won't come back with me? Do you want me to take Isaac back to the land of your kindred, to the land of Mesopotamia? And Abraham said, be sure that you don't take my son back, because the God who took me out of that land and brought me to this land and promised to me that I will give your land to your, this land to your descendants, will go before you. He'll send his angel before you and guide you, and you'll be able to accomplish this task. So be sure that you don't take him back. So God will be your guide, and he made him take an oath. Putting the hand under the thigh was just a way of taking an oath, making a promise, which shows the importance of the occasion. So the servant swore to Abraham that he would find a wife from among his kindred. So the servant was not to take a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanites. We don't know if God had told Abraham not to do that. We don't know if Abraham just simply saw the way that these Canaanites lived and didn't want that for Isaac. We do know that God had said that through his descendants that he would bless all nations. So don't take a son from among the Canaanites. He was to not take Isaac back to Mesopotamia. God would be his guide, and Abraham made the servant swear that he would do this. Now, back in chapter 15, Abraham's chief steward was Eliezer of Damascus. Now, we don't know that this was Eliezer, because between chapter 15 and chapter 24, we've had a period of a little over 50 years pass. So we can't say that this was Eliezer. We don't know who this servant was, and it doesn't matter who this servant was. Just simply the fact that he was to do what Abraham wanted him to do. So the servant travels to Mesopotamia to find a wife for Isaac. And he came to Mesopotamia, traveled from Canaan up to Padanaram, area of Mesopotamia, possibly in the area of Haran. Why would some of Abraham's family be in Haran? Where did they travel to start with and live until Abraham's father died? They traveled up to Haran. When Joseph fled from Esau, he traveled up to the area of Haran because that's where the family was living at that time. So possibly in the northern part of Mesopotamia instead of down in Ur. And like I said, that really doesn't matter either. But he went back to the area of Mesopotamia, traveled to the city of Nahor, where Nahor lived, came to a well, and there he stopped and he prayed to God for help. He prayed to the God of his master Abraham, but he realized who God was. He had faith that God would accomplish what Abraham had given him to do. So he stopped at the well and he prayed to God that God would help him. Look at verse 12. We'll just read that. He stopped at verse 11. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So he stopped at the well. It was the time of day when the daughters of the men would go out to draw the water that they needed. Verse 12, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he kneeled down. He prayed to God and for guidance and for help in finding a wife for Isaac. He had faith that God would do this. And so before he finished his prayer, Rebekah comes. Rebekah, who is the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor and Milcah, who was Abraham's brother, came out to draw water. And this happened before he had finished his prayer. She was a beautiful woman. She was a virgin. She was unmarried. She was eligible for marriage. She went down to the well. She drew her pitcher of water, and as she came out, the servant ran to her and said, "I pray thee, let me have a drink of water." And she gave him a drink of water, and she said, "Well, let me draw for your camels also." So she went back to the well, and she filled it, and she watered the camels. Now, a camel drinks a lot of water, so this wasn't an easy task for her. But she did it. It was a good test. And so she watered the camels, so they were done drinking. And the servant waited, wondering, is this the one? Has God answered my prayer? Is this the answer that I'm looking for? So he waited until she got done. So Rebecca was eligible for marriage. She was unmarried. She was a virgin. She was very beautiful. It's a good application that, let's just say, the women teaching the 6th through 8th grade girls. It's an unmixed class to talk about purity, to talk about purity of life. But notice, before he finished his prayer, Rebecca was there. God knew beforehand. God had made plans beforehand to help to answer this prayer, to make things the way that it should be. Because God works providentially in our lives, in the lives of men. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17 talks about that. So God works providentially. God already had this in motion. He knew what the servant was going to do. He knew how he was going to accomplish this. And before the servant finished his prayer, here was Rebecca that was already there in answer to it. So the servant gave to Rebecca a golden earring and golden bracelets. Now, some would say this was a nose ring. I don't know. Possibly that, an earring. Two golden bracelets. The earring was half a shekel. The bracelets weighed 10 shekels apiece. And he said, "Whose daughter are you? And do you have room for us to stay in your house?" And Rebecca replied, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, which Milcah, the bear to the son who that Milcah bare to Nahor. And yes, we do have room. We have plenty of straw. We have plenty of feed and room for you to stay in our house." So when this happened, the servant fell down on his knees again and thanked God for the fact that he had answered his prayer. He had made his way prosperous. And when Rebecca saw and heard what had happened, she ran back to her house and she told her family what was going on, that indeed, look at what's happened. So the servant showed the proper respect and reverence for God who had answered his prayer. God answers prayer. It would be a good application for us to talk about the importance of prayer in our classes, if we're teaching our classes. And it's a good opportunity for us to talk about how thankful we should be that God answers our prayer and God blesses our life and fulfills things in us. Many people take things for granted sometimes. And also, we could talk about giving God the proper reverence, the proper respect that He deserves. This servant gave God the respect. He gave Him the reverence for helping him and blessing him and giving him the things that he had asked for. So when Rebecca goes back to the house and tells her family all the things that had taken place, all the things that had happened, she had a brother. The brother's name was what? Laban. Okay? We're in about Laban a good bit later in Joseph's life. Had a brother named Laban. So when Laban saw the earring and the bracelets and heard what Rebecca had to say, he ran out to the servant. The servant was still at the well. He was standing by the camels. And he said, "What are you standing here for? I've got everything ready. You come home with me. You bring your camels and you come home." So he came and fed the camels. He gave them water to wash their feet. And they came in and he set a meal before them. And he said, "I'm not going to eat until I have concluded my business. Let me tell you what I'm here for." Let's look over to verse 33. And we'll just read those verses. "There was set meat before him to eat, but he said, 'I will not eat until I have told mine errand.' And Laban said," he said, that's Laban, "'speak on.' And he said, 'I'm Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when he was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Preadventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from thy oath. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thy, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said to her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drink, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelet upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is for thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken. So he recounts the story to them of what had happened. And he asks now, Is Rebekah going to be allowed to return with me? Tell me, so I'll know what to do. If you're going to deal kindly with my master, if you're going to let this happen, let me know, so I'll know which way to go. I'll know which way that I need to turn and what I need to do. So Laban and Bethuel said, This comes from the Lord. So what can we say? You take Rebekah, you let her go back, and you let her be your master's son's wife. So he gave Rebekah gifts of silver and gold and clothing. He also gave gifts to her mother and her brother, and they spent the night. He was thankful. He let his thanksgiving be made known. When they said this, he again fell to his knees, and he worshiped God. He thanked God for the fact that he helped him to be able to accomplish what he had to accomplish. So when he got up the next morning, he said, Okay, I'm ready to go. Let me go. Send me on my way, that I may go back and accomplish what I've had to do. And they said, Well, don't be in such a hurry. Wait a little while. Let her stay with us a little while, at least 10 days, and then she can leave. And the servant said, The Lord's prospered me in this. Don't hinder me. Send me on my way. Let me go. Let me accomplish what I need to accomplish. So they said, Well, let's ask Rebekah. Let Rebekah decide whether she's going to go or not. So they called Rebekah and they said, Are you going to go with this man? And Rebekah said, Yes, I'm going to go. So they blessed her and sent her on her way. And so her and her nurse, and it appears some women who would attend her and the servant and his men all left back on their journey back to the land of Canaan. Now, look at verse 60. They blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate thee. Did that happen? Literally? Yes. Yes, as God had promised Abraham that his descendants would be innumerable, they were. And Israel overcame their enemies in the land of Canaan and round about. So this literally came true. The blessing that they had given on Rebekah. There was a possibility here that some of these family members may never see Rebekah again. So certainly they wanted her to wait a while. Let her wait a while. At least give us 10 days. Let us get used to this idea. Let us say our goodbyes. Spend a little more time with her. But no, the Lord's prospering. Let me go and let's get this done. The servant wanted to be done with it. Rebekah agreed to do that. And so they did. As we've come to verse 62, Isaac lived in the area of Beer Lahairoi in the south in the Negev. Now, he went out in the field in the evening to meditate. Now, the last thing we heard about Abraham, he was dwelling there also. Remember, he lived in Hebron. He lived at Mamre. He'd moved to Beer Lahairoi when Abraham lied to Abimelech, king of Gerar, about Sarah being his wife. Settled there in that area. They made a covenant of peace together around the well. So we see Isaac dwelling in that area. He went out in the field in the evening to meditate, and he saw them coming. And when Rebekah saw him from a distance, she asked Abraham's servant, "Who's this man that comes to meet us?" And the servant said, "Well, this is my master. This is Isaac." So she stopped. She got off her camel. She veiled herself. Isaac met them coming, and the servant told Isaac all that had transpired. And so Isaac took Rebekah to his mother's tent. She became his wife. He loved her, and he was comforted after his mother's death. Got a battery going bad or something. So he's comforted after his mother's death. And those who've lost a loved one can sympathize with that and understand that. So Rebekah becomes his wife, and he loves her. Isaac was 40 years old. We find that from chapter 25 and verse 20 when he married Rebekah. So he wasn't a young man. Sarah would have been dead about 3 years. Questions, comments so far? It was the Lord's will, for sure. We know that. And we know that the Lord told the Israelites don't intermarry with the people of the land later on. Yeah, yeah. And so you put all that together and you would assume that. Yeah, that's good. Good. Well, this is supposed to appear at one time, but Abraham married again. He married Keturah. They had six sons, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Isbak, Shua, Midian, who was the father of the Midianites. That's the one we would take mention of. We don't know anything about the others, but he came to be the prominent one. And we know in Exodus chapter 2 that Moses married a Midianite, the daughter of the priest of Midian, down in the area of Sinai. Also, we know that the Midianites and the Ishmaelites kind of intermingled with each other, because when Joseph was sold into slavery, he was sold to Ishmaelite traders who had at least Midianites in the midst of them. Also, when Gideon fought the Midianites, it talks about the Midianites and the Ishmaelites. So they intermingled with each other. We're positive as we read the story. He gave gifts to these six sons, and he sent them away to the east. But he gave Isaac all that he had. Now, the servant had said back when he went to the house of Bethuel and took Rebekah that Abraham had given Isaac all that he possessed. But now we see after that, we have recorded for us that Abraham gives Isaac everything. Sometimes stories are told out of sequence to put them together and make them make sense. And it would seem that this might be the case here. And we see that several times. We see places named before places were actually named. We see events happen before events really happened in the chronologically in their life. Did Abraham marry Keturah after Sarah died? He would have been 137 years old. He had six sons. Or did he marry Keturah as he had Hagar as a concubine while Sarah was still alive? We don't know. Supposition would be the only way that we could talk about that, and that doesn't matter either. We just simply know that God was able to make that happen. He did marry Keturah. He had six sons. The Midianites were the major thing that we get out of that. But he didn't want those six sons to inherit. Just as he had sent Ishmael away, he sent those six sons away, and he gave Isaac all that he possessed. And of course, Abraham died at the age of 175. He lived in the land of Canaan 100 years. Ishmael and Isaac buried him in the cave of Machpelah. Who's buried in that cave at this time? Just Sarah, okay? Sarah. And now Abraham dies, and he's buried in the cave as well. Very short, Genesis chapter 25, 12 through 16, talks about Ishmael's descendants. Ishmael had 12 sons. Now look back to Genesis chapter 17. This is where Abraham had, because of Sarah's desire, sent Hagar and Ishmael away. And verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begot, and I will make him a great nation. Here we see the fulfillment of that. 12 sons, 12 princes, Nebajah, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsham, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jether, Naphish, and Kedema were the sons of Ishmael. They dwelt from Havilah to Shur. Now, back at the creation, in the Garden of Eden, talks about being by the land of Havilah. There was also a Havilah which was in the south, down toward Egypt, but talks about the sons of Cush there being in Havilah. But when we think about the Garden of Eden, we think about it being in this area. Talks about the Pison River. We don't know exactly where that was, but it was in conjunction with the Euphrates. To Shur, which would be around the Arabian Desert area that the sons of Ishmael would have dwelt. So they dwelt in that area. Maybe I can get this to work. Okay. And he died at the age of 137. So he lived a long life also. Then in chapter 25 and verse 19, Isaac becomes the main character. Look over Genesis 11, 27. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27, when we're introduced to Terah, verse 27 says, now what? These are the generations of Terah. Now look at chapter 25 and verse 19. Now these are the generations of Isaac. So in chapter 25, verse 19, Abraham is dead. Isaac becomes the main character in the Bible story. And, of course, Wayne will pick up with that this morning. Wednesday night. I'm sorry. This is Sunday morning. He'll pick up with that Wednesday night. So, when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, called to go into the land of Canaan, he was 75 years old. When Ishmael was born, he was 86. So he had been in the land at that time 11 years. Isaac was born, he was 100. Sarah was 90 because Sarah was 10 years younger than him. So he was 100 years old. And when Sarah died, he was 137. We know that from the fact that the text tells us Sarah was 127. So him being 10 years older would have been 137. When Isaac married Rebekah, he was 140. Because Isaac was 40, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born, so he would have been 140 when he married Rebekah, and he would have been 160 when Jacob and Esau was born. Now, this is another example of things being told or things happening before they were told, because we haven't studied Jacob and Esau yet, but we have studied where Abraham died. Abraham died at 175, but Isaac was 60 when Jacob and Esau were born. So Abraham would have been 160 when Jacob and Esau were born, and then he died at 175. So Jacob and Esau would have been 15 years old when Abraham died. Now, case in point, Shem lived 500 years after Arphaxad was born. Now, Arphaxad was born 2 years after the flood. So Shem was 100 when Arphaxad was born. He lived 500 years after the birth of Arphaxad. So he lived a total of 600 years. Now, from Arphaxad's birth to Abraham's birth was 290 years. And Abraham died at 175 years old. So, Shem would have still been alive. Shem would have been 565 years old when Abraham died. So, Jacob and Esau, if the generations are complete, and the Scripture tells us this one lived so many years and had this one, and this, so if the generations are complete, then Jacob and Esau were 50 when Shem died. Just an interesting point that I happened to think about while I was studying this. Okay, so Abraham is dead. God had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, went up to Haran, remained there until his father died, went down to the land of Canaan, which God had called him to. I'll take you to the land I'll show you. Abraham left not knowing where he was going. He went down to Shechem. God made the promises to him. He traveled on down between Bethel and Ai, built an altar, worshipped God, went down to Egypt because of the famine, came back to Bethel, offered sacrifices to God again, and then for the rest of most of his life lived in the south area part of the country. He lived at Hebron, at Mamre, for a good period of time. It was from there that he left with Mamre and Aner and Eshcol, and went with his 318 trained servants and rescued Lot. He lived at Beersheba. We see Isaac living at Beer Lahairoi. So in this area, he spent the biggest part of his time that he journeyed in Canaan. Now, we look at the family tree, the family history, coming through Adam, Seth, and then Noah, which we said was 1,556 years after the creation, down through Noah's son Shem, which was the genealogy through which Christ came, to Abraham's father Terah. Terah had three sons, Haran, Nahor, and Abraham, and then, of course, Abraham's half-sister, Sarah, who was the daughter of his father, but not the daughter of his mother. This was 1,848 years after the creation. Again, if the generations that are listed in Scripture are complete, we're about 1,840 years after the creation when Abraham's born. Abraham married his half-sister Sarah. We know that from what he said when he talked to Abimelech and explained to him the fact that she was indeed his sister. Haran had Ishka, Lot, and Milcah. Ishka, we know nothing about. Milcah married her uncle Nahor, and of course Lot went with Abraham to the land of Canaan as they separated in those things. Abraham was given Hagar to be his wife, and through that relationship Ishmael was born, who became the father of the Ishmaelites. And Lot had Moab and Ben-Ami through an incestuous relationship with his two daughters, as a result of what had happened in Sodom, the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites. So we have the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Ishmaelites, and then Sarah had a son, Isaac, through whom came the Israelites, the promised seed that God had promised. And this was 1948 years after creation, because Abraham was how old when Isaac was born? 100. Okay, so 100 more years, 1948 years after the creation. Then Abraham married Keturah. They had 12 sons. The son that that figures in the Bible story would be Midian, who was the father of the Midianites that we talked about today. And then Milcah and Nahor had Bethuel, whose daughter was Rebekah. Son was also Laban, who figures into the Bible story. And then Rebekah marries Isaac. So, little family tree as we go through this study. Comments, questions, anything anybody wants to add to our story this morning? Wayne, anything you want to add? Okay, real quickly, Abraham moves to Canaan. He leaves Ur. God gives him the promises. He journeys down to Egypt because of the famine and lies to Pharaoh. Sarah about her being his sister. He took her. The household was plagued. Abraham was admonished. He was driven out of Egypt back to the land of Canaan. Abraham and Lot separate because their herds are so great. There's strife between them. Lot chooses the plains around Sodom. We find him living in Sodom. Abraham has to rescue Lot because the kings of Mesopotamia had come over, defeated the kings of the plains, took them back. Lot was carried captive. They were rescued. Abraham meets Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, refuses the spoils of battle lest the king of Sodom say that he made Abraham rich. God reaffirms the promises. He makes a covenant with Abraham in chapter 15, reaffirming the promises that had been made. Ishmael is born. Abram takes Hagar as his wife. We have the birth of Ishmael. There's strife between Sarah and Hagar. Abraham at this time was 86 years old. Then God gives him the covenant of circumcision as an outward sign of the promises that he had made. The covenant name was changed to Abraham. He was 99 at the present time. Sarah would have been 89. Ishmael would have been 13. So God visits Abraham, tells him that Sarah herself will have a child. The three visitors, one of them was the Lord. Sarah had doubt. Abraham has told them of the plans for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did Abraham do? Tried to bargain with God. Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. Lot flees. He loses all that he has. Commits incest with his daughter. Moabites and Ammonites are the result. Abraham hasn't learned his lesson. So he lies to Abimelech. Travels to the land of the Philistines. Abimelech takes her. God warns Abimelech in a dream. Abimelech admonishes Abraham for what he's done. He gives him gifts. He says, here's the land. It's before you. You choose your dwelling place. Dwell wherever you want. Isaac is born. Hagar and Ishmael are sent away. God promises to make Ishmael a great nation. And Abimelech and Abraham make a covenant of peace. Abraham offers Isaac, figuratively, not literally, because God spared him from that, but God tested his faith. We have the news from Nahor's family, the father of 12 children, introduction to Bethuel, who's the father of Rebekah, the death of Sarah at 127, buried in the cave of Machpelah. Isaac marries Rebekah, 40 years old when he married, and then, of course, marrying Keturah and their sons, and Abraham dying at the age of 175. Isaac would have been 75 years old, Ishmael 89, and Sarah would have been dead at about 38 years at that. Appreciate your attention. We'll continue the next couple of chapters Wednesday night. Thank you. What's that?
Number three again. I always wonder, you know, when living a shorter life, I guess.